turn this mic on. Be seated.
We can't use it.
All right.
You can either use this or the pulpit.
All right. Thank you. All right. Thank you. Boy, I'll tell you what good music. I'll tell you right now, man alive. That's great, isn't it? If you can't, like Brother John said last night, if you can't preach after that, hey, ain't much hope for you. And if you don't get blessed, I'm going to tell you something else. They need to stick a mirror under your nose, see if you're still breathing, man. Hey, you've about had it. If that don't do something. Amen? I mean, hey, that ought to bless you. All that good singing. Hey, these kids that got up a while ago and sang, and then Carla and Matt. Boy, I'm telling you what, last night that choir and all these groups. Hey, I'm going to tell you, I don't know if you know how good it really is. If you, hey, listen, I preach, Brother John, a lot of places where they ain't even got nobody to play the piano.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I preached in a church a while back. If I hadn't took a flat top guitar, they wouldn't have been nothing there. I mean, that's the truth. I played a guitar and sang because they had no specials, nothing. And they didn't have much with that. But it was better than what they had. Amen. But what I'm trying to say, that they didn't have a piano player. Preacher, they had somewhere he ordered his songs, you know, on a CD where they, when they sung the hymns, the preacher had to lead singing. Wasn't nobody lead singing. Wasn't no choir. Nobody sang specials. And I'm going to tell you, you could be in that this morning. And you better thank God.
Yes, sir.
Boy, I tell you, thankfulness will never hurt you.
Amen.
And I'm thankful to be here. And I want to thank you, Brother Bell, for having me to come. I know there's lots and lots and lots of other preachers that you could have. And I'm just glad to be a part of it. And I want to thank you for that nice room over there. It's nice and clean. I slept good last night. And thank you for the goodies that's in the room there, the bananas and the popcorn and the crackers and peanut butter and crackers and the bananas and the water. And all that. Now, it used to be I was looking for Snickers bars and Reese cups and all that. Hey, I still look for them, but if I find one, I go on by it. Amen. Because I'm not eating it. But anyhow, thank you for everything. And everything here is just the first class and done up right. And you better thank God for that too. I get convicted every time I come about all that. I say, you know, I ought to do better about what I'm doing. And we ought to take things serious because it's God's work. It is serious. But anyhow, take your Bibles, turn to 1 Samuel 15, and I'm going to begin reading at verse number 12. Brother Bell, I love you and thank God for you and just to be here. And last night, Brother Jenkins, that message was tremendous.
Amen.
Tremendous. And I just thank the Lord for it, for his preaching. I love Brother Jenkins. And it's just good to get to be with your friends, get to see them once in a while. I don't get to see Brother Jenkins except someplace preaching with him or go to one of his meetings there. Same with Brother Bell here. I don't get to see him maybe once a year or something. Maybe once or twice a year get to see him for a few minutes. But you know what? I honestly mean this. I pray for Brother Jenkins. I pray for you and Grace Baptist Church and your family. And your church and college. And I pray for George Bell and his family and this church every day when I'm praying. I thank God for you and pray for you. And I do pray for you. So you can stay close to people by praying for them. You really can. And we need to pray for each other in these days. We really do. First Samuel. Did I say 1 Corinthians or 1 Samuel? 1 Samuel 15, if you would, and stand with me. And I'm going to read some verses that are probably familiar verses to about all of you. But it says this, "And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel. And behold, he set him up a place and is gone about and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen, which I hear. And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto him, Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast not thou made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee over Israel. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. Let's pray. Our Father, I pray that you would help me to preach this morning. Dear Lord, I know if anybody ever needs help, Lord, I do. And I pray you would help me. Lord, even why you'd ever take and save me and call me and let me do what I do, I've never understood it. But I sure am thankful that you've allowed it. Now, since I'm here today, please use me. And then in a little bit, when Brother Jenkins comes, God bless him and use him as he preaches to us. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. I'm going to preach to you here for a few minutes this morning. I'll not be long. I'm going to preach to you on this thought. Down in verse number 17, Samuel said to Saul, made this statement, and when thou was little in thine own sight. You see that statement? I've got me a sermon here I'm going to preach to you on Lord, leave me little. Lord, leave me little. You see, it's not how other people view me that's important. Because some people think they know people, they don't really know them. I've seen people say, well, I've heard people get criticized. And I'm thinking to myself, do you even know that person that you're criticizing? And you know, lots of times they don't even know them, but they've went by what somebody else told them. And it's not accurate. But let me tell you what's really important is that you, how you see yourself. See, it's leave me little. Samuel said, the problem of it is you're too big in your eyes. You're too big. And he I got to thinking about this when I was reading about Saul. Do you know, folks, that honestly, sometimes the Bible's surreal to me reading it, that I've actually, Brother Jenkins, read some of these stories and cry. Thinking about, for instance, with David. When I read about David, what a great man he was, I can't help but bring tears in my eyes when I see him fall. And I think about Saul. Was God's choice, and as Brother Jenkins said last night, God wanted to be the king of Israel and the king of everything, didn't he? But the people wanted, and God loved Israel, and he said, well, I'm going to let them have what they want. And God's choice for that king was Saul. Right. Now, Brother Bell, the Bible said he was head and shoulders taller than anybody else. I think he was a big, stout man, and the Bible says he was, but I don't think that's why God picked him. Because that's not what God was looking at. I think the reason God picked Saul is because that Saul was little in his own sight. And he said that'd be a good king because he's got the right spirit, you see. He's got the right attitude. Now I know when God anointed him, if you go back a few chapters, it says there that God turned him into another man. Amen. Right. God gave him another heart, and God turned him into another man. Now, anybody, I don't care what job God puts you to doing, you better have God to work on you and turn you into what you need to be so you can do the right job, do it effectively. Amen. But I thought about this thing in preaching, And Brother Jenkins, you and Brother Bell understand what I'm talking about. And I mean this with all my heart. I don't ever want to get to the place that I think too much of myself. Because when you do, you're in deep trouble. Do you know, I thought about this verse. I want to read it to you over here in Proverbs 29. Listen to this. In Proverbs 29 and 23, it said, "A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit." And then it goes down and said, "The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved." Now listen to this. That leaving you, when you're little in your own sight, that it'll help you fear God so much you won't worry about man. And see, Saul said the people's wanted to bring back these sheep. Really, he could have stopped it. All he had to do is, brother, he sat upon that big white stallion. All he had to do, Brother Bell, say, "Hold it, hold it. Those sheep are to be slaughtered. Those oxen are to be slaughtered. Fellas, we can't take, don't pick up no war trophies. Don't pick up no bayonets of the Amalekites. Don't pick up any of their bows. Don't pick up any of their silver coin. Leave everything a-laying. Orders, don't bring back nothing. Destroy it all, burn it all." And then he should have sliced off old Agag's head while he's at it. Yeah. And he come leading that king back. Maybe he seen himself and thought, "Boy, I'd hate for him to do me the way." But you know what? Guess what got him in the end? Hey, you know what it was? It was that one that got away. It was that Amalekite that stood upon Saul. That's what come back and got him. Remember that? Hey, when he was laying there about to die, it was an Amalekite that came by and finished him off. You know why? If he'd have utterly destroyed him, they wouldn't have been none to guide him. That's right. It was what he didn't take care of business there that come back to get him. Now, let me tell you some things. And I'm going to give you just this outline here, and I want you to listen to it. Here is this. Lord, leave me little. I want God to leave me little. You see, the littler, and you know, I don't think a person ought to look at yourself as worthless or worthy to be any to be. For instance, I'm not worthy to be here in this meeting. I'm not worthy to be called to preach. But on the other hand, you're not worthless. You see what I'm trying to say? You're not worthless. See, if you ain't careful, you can get so down on yourself, sort of like he preached last night, you get so down on yourself that you see yourself as worthless. Well, then you don't do anything because you see yourself as worthless. On the other hand, you don't want to see yourself worthy. You see what I'm trying to say? You don't say, "Well, I deserve to be in that. I don't know why they don't call me to do that. I don't know why." Listen, you know what? It may be that God knows your heart, knows your attitude. And says, "God," I said, "I'm not promoting you." See, Saul, when he got started, he had the right attitude. He had the right spirit. He had it all. And he had every bit of that. And let me just give you some thoughts here this morning. Number one, Lord, leave me little so I'll follow God's directions. Leave me little so I'll follow God's directions. You see, Saul didn't get down there, Brother Jenkins, and not know what God wanted. He said, he didn't get down there and say, "Well, I'm confused about what I'm supposed to do." It was very clear. Yeah. When in verses 1 through 9, if you go back and read this chapter right here, that his orders was to go down and fight against the Amalekites and utterly destroy everything. He knew that. But you know what? When you get to thinking too much of yourself and you get to thinking that you're something, then you just say, "Well, listen, I don't care what they said." Yep. Do you know what? Hey, that's what happened to the devil. Yeah. I mean, he was an archangel then, but preacher, what happened to him was he thought he wasn't going to follow directions. You know what it was? He got thinking too much of himself. Yes. He got thinking too much that he was something more than what he really was. And he said, "I'll exalt my throne." Right. He had eye problems. You read it there in Ezekiel. There, he said, "I will exalt my throne. I'll do this and I'll do that." And you know what it was? He didn't worry one thing about what God wanted. And let me tell you this right here. Saul's directions was clear. Saul's directions was possible.
Right. Yeah.
Anything God commands you to do, you can do.
That's right.
You can follow orders. trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but trust and obey. But when you get puffed up, then you think, I don't have to answer to anybody. I don't have to listen to nobody. You know what that God does even in a church like this? Or in the military, anywhere. It doesn't matter where it is. You ought to always say, listen, I'm going to listen to the authority.
Right.
Now, Saul was the king of Israel, but he still had an authority, and that authority was God and God's
Amen.
Word.
Amen.
Hey, and sometimes, Brother Bell, the truth of it is, preachers sometimes get the worst for this. Is they don't want nobody. They've been at a church, or they're an evangelist. They got a lot of meetings, or they're God's using them in a big way, and they sort of get to where they just don't think anybody ought to tell them what to do. But I say, God, leave me little where I'll follow what
Amen.
God wants.
Amen.
Leave me little where I'll follow God's directions, you see. Then Saul deliberately sinned.
That's right.
He knew what he was doing. And he come back in there dragging them oxen and dragging them sheep coming in there and leading old Agag in there. And buddy, old Samuel got up, the prophet met him. Boy, thank God for them old preachers back in them days. Here come the preacher. And he met the king. And he said to that king, hey, he said, listen, did you obey God? And he said, yeah, I obeyed. I did everything I was supposed to do. He said, then what's this lowing of the oxen and bleeding of the sheep? What is, and who's that?
Yeah.
Well, that's Agag. And then he said this. If you notice, he said the people.
Yeah.
He said the people, when he asked about it, said the people didn't want to kill him. You know what? It's always somebody, they passing it. Wasn't me. It was them. They wanted to bring them back. So I just thought, go along with them, bring them on back. Didn't see any harm. And by the way, look at the size of these sheep. And look how nice these oxen are. And look at everything. And we just thought we'd bring them back and sacrifice them. And then old Samuel said, hath the Lord has much delight, his great delight in sacrifice as he does obedience? The answer is no. All God wants me to do is obey what he said. Just obey orders. Amen?
Amen.
Hey, and if you'll stay little... You see, if you'll stay little, what you'll do is you'll do what God said.
Amen.
Brother, you ever get full of pride,
yes, you're
headed for trouble.
Amen.
Oh, hey, you're headed for trouble. And so, Lord, leave me little so I'll follow God's directions. Hey, do you know what, Brother Bell, and I'm talking to me just like I'm talking to you, but this is not George Bell's church. Now, God has put Brother Bell as the pastor of this church. He's the pastor. Now listen to what I'm going to tell you, though. That Brother Bell has got one, like I do at Trinity Baptist Church, that I've got to answer to for this church.
Yeah.
I've got to answer. So listen, you know why churches, go off and go contemporary and go wild and go just start just dressing anyway and music's just anyway and change Bibles and brother just goes completely haywire. You want to know why they do that? Same thing happened to Saul. Nobody ain't going to tell me what kind of music to have. Nobody's going to tell me how we're going to dress. Now the preacher gets like that. And what happens, Brother Jenkins, they forget, brother, you're not over this thing. He is.
Amen.
Now, Saul was the king of Israel, but he wasn't the king of kings. You see what I'm saying? Hey, you know, a man could be a captain, and your pastor was in the army. A man could be a captain. Hey, but let me tell you something. Hey, when a colonel walks in or a general walks in, hey, bud, business picked up. He has to answer to that colonel.
Right.
And that colonel's got to answer to that general. And if that general's a one-star general and a two-star walks in, then the authority just changed. And listen to this right here. Let me tell you, the King of Kings is the one. And as long as we'll keep our attitude right and our spirit right and our heart right, we'll keep ourselves little in our own sight.
Amen.
And when we do then, hey, why do you think things is the way they are around this church?
Yeah.
Do you happen to know why they are? Listen, because this man right here says, I want to please the one that's in control. So he keeps himself little in his sight so he'll obey the one that he's got to answer to one day. As long as any of us does that, we'll never change.
Amen.
We'll not change. Why? Because we have to stay little in our own sight. But when I get to where I think, Brother Jenkins, I'm the king of the mountain, then I'll say, well, you know what? It don't really matter what God thinks. I'm just going to bring in these sheep anyhow.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to bring in this right here. We're going to bring this in, and we're going to have this anyhow. Whether God likes it or not, ain't nobody going to tell me. And you know what we do? They'll blame it, saying other preachers are trying to tell me what to do.
Right.
But that ain't really the problem. The real problem is it's you won't let God tell you what to do.
Right.
We're just like Saul.
Yes. Yeah.
And let me give you number two. Lord, leave me little first so I follow God's directions. Number two, leave me little so I will fear God and not man. Hey, the Bible said in Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man bringeth a snare.
Right.
Yeah. See?
Right.
Hey, the fear of man brings a snare. But if we fear God, you're not in bondage.
Amen.
Hey, man, you got complete liberty. You're fearing what God have you. Remember the old boy named Micaiah, prophet?
Yes, sir.
Remember when the old king was getting ready to go preacher to battle?
Yeah.
He's getting ready to go to battle, and he called in all of his prophets.
Yeah.
He says, boys, we're going to war, and I'd like to, y'all been plugged into heaven, I'd like to know what your take on this battle, how it's going to go out there tomorrow. And they said, oh man, hands down, you're going to win this thing. I mean, look, you got more horses, more shields, swords, more infantry. You got it, man. You go out there tomorrow, you're going to win the battle. And the old king said, well, I appreciate everybody's positive attitude. He said, I'd like to get a second opinion.
Yeah.
And somebody said, well, there's a man over here, it's a prophet of God named Micaiah. How about going and getting him? And they went and got him. And when they went and got him, the man that went and got him said, listen, now we've got a good report. We've done told the king he's going to win the battle. And we want you to go in there and be positive too and tell him he's going to win the battle. Oh, Micaiah, brother, he wasn't a yes man to all them other preachers. He didn't fear them. He didn't fear the king. Preacher, he walked in there. You know what he said. He told that man, he said, I'll say only what the Lord God tells me to say. Buddy, when he walked in there, king said, Micaiah, and he was the son of Imlah, and he said, the reason I don't like him, he never prophesies what I want to hear.
Yeah, right.
He always tells what God wants.
Yeah.
You know why? He feared God and was little in his own sight.
Yeah.
And old Micaiah walked in there, and everybody said, boy, hey, we're excited about the battle tomorrow. I guess you got a good report too. And he walked in, he said, king, I'm going to tell you something. If you go out there tomorrow, it's going to be your Waterloo. You're not coming back. You're going to die out there on that battlefield. And you know what they did? King flew mad and said, put him in the dungeon and feed him with water and bread of affliction till I get back. And this is what old Micaiah said.
Right.
He said, if you come back, the Lord hath not spoken. In other words, you can put me in there if you want to, and you can feed me with water and bread if you want to. But let me tell you something. You're not coming back.
That's right.
And if you do come back, I was a liar, and this thing, and I'm not of God. Hey, you know what? He didn't come back.
Amen.
Hey, and you know why Micaiah's message was that way? He was little in his own sight, and I'm sure, preacher, that he was afraid to go in there and say, everybody in the room was for the king and what the king wanted, and they was yes men to him. But old Micaiah went in there and said, I fear God so much, I've got to tell the truth.
Amen.
You know, one time there in our town, it's been years ago, but in our town, they put me on jury duty. How many of you have been called and set on jury duty? Oh, what a blessing that is. Especially, preacher, when you're busy. Amen. Oh, I'd have rather about went through the purgatory than had to go to the jury. Oh, my goodness. I had to be there about 8 o'clock in the morning up there. And the first day, guess what? They're picking jurors, you know. I sat there all day long. They never even said howdy to me. Hey, next day, I went there. I sat all day long. They still didn't use me. But I had to be there by law. And you know what I did? I got away with it for 1 year before I ever went. I'd always write them and call up there and write and say, I'm in meetings. I'm preaching meetings. But this particular week, I didn't have a meeting. And I thought, now they're going to get tired of this. Just tell me, don't forget it. They didn't. I had to show up. Preacher, I mean, listen, they didn't care if I was Billy Graham, bless God, and was preaching every week. There was going to be some time you ain't preaching, you're coming to jury duty. Well, I sat for 2 days, and they didn't even say boo to me. And now, on Wednesday, they had the whole juror section picked, and they said, Darrell Cox. And, oh, my goodness, here I go up there. I got to sit on that box. And I went up there, and they was trying some people over drug trafficking and drinking and causing problems and all that. And I was dressed just like them right now. Went in there and sat down, and this district attorney walked over there. He said, Mr. Cox, I want to ask you a few questions. He said, give us your full name. Probably twice as many people as there is in here. The courtroom was packed. Give us your full name. I said, Darryl Ray Cox. Where do you live, Mr. Cox? Gave him my address. What do you do for a living? I said, I'm a pastor of Trinity Baptist Church down here in south side of Knoxville. And how many children you got? And their names. And all went through a big rigmarole. Mr. Cox, he said, we're getting ready to try, and they did this to every one of the jurors, but they said, we're getting ready to try these people over here for drug trafficking and all just a bunch of junk they sent to, selling drugs, using drugs, and liquor and all of it. And they said, do you have a problem with alcohol? I said, I got a real problem with it. And they said, would you explain? I said, I hate it. I said, I don't like beer trucks, beer joints, beer makers, and beer sellers. I said, I just see red when I start thinking about alcohol and dope. And I said, I'm totally against it. And I said, buddy, if you're putting me on here, they better be innocent. I'll just flat out tell you, hey, and the judge, Brother Jenkins, said, Mr. Cox, and he took his glasses off. And he looked over there like this. He said, you do know in the state of North Carolina, it's not against the law to drink. Brother Bell, I said, Your Honor, it's against God's law to drink. Whether North Carolina voted it in or not, I said, it's against the law of God to drink liquor, and God hates liquor. And the judge looked at me and said, Mr. Cox, you're dismissed. But he said, you'll be back in the morning at 8 o'clock. Hey, Brother Jenkins, when I was walking out, hey, my knees was shaking. I mean, it was one against, I felt like Elijah on Carmel, buddy. I mean, that whole crowd there is motley, is looking, meanest looking bunch. And I started walking out of that courtroom, but there were some people back through there. When I was walking out, my knees was shaking. Because I said, hey, this ain't popular in here. But you know what? When I was walking out, because, hey, I mean, I was talking to the big boys, talking to the judge, you know. And hey, all them attorneys in there, and you stand up and tell them the word of God. We're not going to drink. Hey, they throwed me out of there. But listen to this. Hey, when I was walking out, there was people. When I was walking out, I said, way'd I go, Reverend. Way'd I go, preacher. When I was walking out of there. But you know what? I wasn't worried about what they thought. I had to be more worried about what he thought. I didn't care if that judge was drinking 6 gallons a day. Bless God, I was going to tell him, hey, that I'm 100% against drinking liquor. Yeah. Hey, they called me back the next morning, preacher. I walked in there at 8 o'clock. They called me straight up there. Had them jurors up there. Called me straight up there and set me back in the same seat. And the district attorney said, Mr. Cox? I said, yes, sir. He said, I would say you've not changed your conviction since yesterday. I said, not one bit. Yeah. He said, then you're dismissed and we won't need you anymore. I said, hallelujah. I walked out of there. Said, what did they think? I don't know. I was so worried about what he thought. That it helped me not to fear the judge. Amen. It helped me not to fear the district attorneys and the people in the crowd. I don't care if the man that makes Morgan David was in there and Mad Dog 2020 and all the rest of it. I don't care if he was sitting in the building. I said, what a thought.
Amen.
He said, why? The fear of man bringeth a snare.
Yeah.
Oh, but let me tell you something. If you stay little in your own sight, see, right. Then let me say this right here. Lord, leave me little that I won't forget what I am and where God found me.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, every day you live, you ought to take a trip back to where God found you. Amen. You know, every time I drive home to Beckley, West Virginia, every time I go through my town where I lived, I always, if I'm there just a day or so, I always, Brother Bell, drive by that little Baptist church where I got saved. Just a little bitty church. But I got saved there. And lots of times I'll just pull up front and just put her in park and just sit there and look at that old building and think about that one day a little old, a home that was in shambles and tore to pieces. My mother and daddy was that close. They were that close right there to splitting up. We had a little farm. And one Saturday afternoon, I was in the house and heard my mother and daddy arguing about, you know, having problems. And my mother said to my daddy, "Ray, I don't know what you're going to do, but I don't know everything we need, but I believe we need church and God." Mom wasn't saved. She didn't know anything about God. She said, "I believe we need church and God. And if I live till tomorrow, I'm going to take these kids right here, and we're going down here to this Baptist church." And the next morning, me and Randy got up and milked them old cows, fed the hogs, fed the coon dogs, everything we had. Come in, got us a bath, and put on the best we had. And Mama and I carried my little sister, and my brother Randy carried my little baby brother Mark. And we walked about, I'd say nearly a mile, out to the little old church. Walked in that morning, didn't know nobody much in the church because that hadn't been our crowd. We sat in there that morning, third row back there from the back. And my mother sitting there, and old Jean Garlow preached that morning, giving an invitation. My redhead mama stepped out in the aisle. And I'd see her just squalling. And she was going down the aisle, Brother Jenkins, and knelt down here. And they took an open Bible and showed my mother. And my mother got up, and I remember mama standing up there. And she's tender-hearted anyhow. She's just a bawling. And I remember old Brother Garlow walked down there and said, "This is Betty Cox." He said, "Betty got saved this morning."
Amen.
Everybody said, "Amen," like you just did. We went out there that day. And you know what? God was dealing with me, but I didn't know what was wrong. And the next Sunday night, I made my mind up. Hey, now listen, she got saved on Sunday morning. And Sunday night, we went back. And Wednesday night, we went
back.
That's
right.
Hey. Listen, when she got it, they got it. I mean, it wasn't, hey, and they didn't have to have deacons hunting her and letters and phone calls. Hey, when she got in, hey, she showed up.
Amen.
And we went too, by the way. Hey, and didn't have a car, didn't have no license, two little old babies. We walked. And we got in there and carried a flashlight. So after it was over at night, we'd walk out of there and walk home with that flashlight, carrying them babies. Out to Airport Road. But the next Sunday night, I made my mind up. I'm going to God tonight. I still remember. December 7, 1969. Sitting in that little old church that night. I was under conviction anyhow. But I stepped out and came down here and got saved. I don't remember much about what he preached. I really don't. But I just knew. I really believe this. That when a man makes his mind up, he's going to God. When he steps out, Brother Jenkins, I really believe this. He's in then. Now, you can go down there and you can show them everything and go through the verses. And I think we ought to do that so we make sure they understand. But let me tell you something, though. When I knelt down, when I stepped out of that pew, I believe God said he got me right there. Because my heart was going to him.
Amen.
See, he already had my heart. I said, "I'm going to Jesus." But what I'm trying to say, I've thought about that so many times. I wasn't raised in church. Thank God these kids. I was looking at these sung this morning. These little boys sitting around there. Listen, in my life, I'm talking about, hey, I was nearly grown. I got married at 18. And this, I'm a 15. I'm within 3 years of leaving home and getting married. Out of the house. And didn't know anything. Didn't know nothing. And I've never forgot to where God found me.
Man.
And Paul said, "I am what I am." 1 Corinthians 15:10. "I am what I am by the grace of God."
Amen.
And that's all I got to brag on is God.
Right.
Hey, listen, I'm telling you, listen. Why would God save an old sinner like me?
Yeah.
Oh, listen. I don't understand. Hey, and then on top of that, hey, 1 Timothy 1:12 said, "I thank Jesus Christ our Lord who hath enabled me for that he counted me faithful and put me into ministry."
Yeah.
Brother Jenkins, are you talking about a mystery?
Yes.
You talking about a mystery? Why would God, Brother Bell, why in the world would God reach down one day and get an old boy that struggled in school? Man, I struggled. Hey, listen, I didn't like books. I was a football player and a boxer and a wrestler and all. I was into all that. I didn't care nothing about learning. I didn't care anything about reading or, you know what I thought? I'll get out of here one day, I'll be a coal miner. I'll get me a job working in the coal mines. I'll just get a job working, you know, construction. My daddy was a hard worker and cut timber, worked in mines and stuff all of his life. That's what I'm going to do. But you know what God did? God saved me. And then Brother Clay called me to preach. Now, I'm being honest with you. I'm being as honest and as sincere as I know. Brother Bell, if they had been a million men lined up and said, God's looking for preachers in here, and he started picking a team to call, honestly, my own opinion, I still feel this way today. I believe I'd have been the last one if I'd have been the one picking them. I said, there's the last one over yonder. Listen, anybody but him. His grammar's horrible, his English, his education. Everything. I don't know what in the world, but you know what? I really believe sometimes what God does, God does. Now, I ain't saying all that's not important. It is. And you ought to learn everything you can learn and everything be as right and proper and study and all of it. But I'm just saying sometimes you can get all that, and then but you get to thinking too much about yourself.
Amen. Amen.
And then God says, I can't use you. You look good on the outside, and you say what's right and you believe what's right. But the problem of it is you look at yourself too high.
Yeah, that's right.
You look at yourself too high. See, truth of it is, I don't want to forget. Lord, leave me little so I won't forget where God found me. Hey, then Lord, leave me little so I won't forfeit the blessings of God.
Amen.
Hey, you know what? The blessings of God left him. You know why? He got to thinking too high of himself. Oh, my soul. You know something, preacher? Listen. I've never understood this. I see preachers sometimes, and Brother Jenkins, please don't think I'm being critical. I'm just telling you what I see. I see, now if I had to leave here right now and go catch a plane, Brother Matt, in an hour and 20 minutes or something, and I said, Brother Bell, I'm sorry, I've got to go, and Matt's going to take me to the airport and run me over here, and I've got to get right straight and get on that plane, I'd understand me rushing out of here. You understand that? But I don't understand a preacher getting so big that I couldn't take time to sign that boy's Bible right there.
Yeah.
Hey, when you get like that, let me tell you what's fixing to happen to you. You're getting ready to hit flat on your face, and there ain't nobody going to have you for nothing.
Yeah.
You know why? I'm big league now. I'm going to run out the building like I'm Superman.
Yeah.
And you know what? If some little old, you think, hey, listen to me right here. This little old boy, come up here, buddy. Come here and help me a minute. You take this little boy right here, listen, got ready to come to this meeting every night, and I finished preaching, Brother Jenkins, and after church he comes up, his little old Bible, and he says, could you sign this? And I said, look, I don't have time, son. Now, if it's legitimate that I really don't, then Lord, leave me little so I won't fall into sin. Boy, pride goeth before a fall. Boy, you get proud. Just proud. Just old pride gets in. Man, let me tell you, it's the worst thing just about can get. You know what? Because, hey, you don't really even realize it as a problem. You don't realize it as a problem. But I'm going to tell you right now, the Bible don't just say God don't like it. It says God hates it. A proud look. A proud look. He hates it. He hates it. And you know what it is? When you get full of pride, you say, ain't nobody telling me nothing.
Right.
Hey, do you know what? If you get like that as a member, do you know what it'll be when he preaches something to you? You'll just fold your arms and say, I'll tell you one thing. Dr. Bell can preach it if he wants to, but he ain't telling me nothing. I can tell you some stories about that kind of stuff.
Yes, sir.
Let me tell you something. What you better do is say, you know what? Is that God trying to talk to me out there?
Yeah.
If it is, man, I'm going to get that altar.
Yeah.
And by the way, can I tell you something since we're on that right there? Do you know what? It wouldn't hurt you one lick that when these sermons are preached, sometimes say, God, what is it? What Brother Jenkins preached on? Lord, what is it in that for me? And get up. I ain't saying you got to do it every time. But you better write regular, get up out of your chair, walk in there, and bend your knees.
Amen.
And bow your head. Let me tell you why.
Amen.
You know what it'll do? It'll keep the starch knocked out of you.
Amen.
It'll keep the pride. Hey, listen, when you go up, now listen, you do it in your bedroom, that's good. But you know what? Sometimes before a whole crowd, do you know, sir, that your boy needs to see you doing it?
Amen.
He swears my daddy down there on his knees, his head bowed and knees bending. There's mama, young lady. Look, there's mama down there at that altar. Old mama's down there humbled down with her knees bent and head bowed.
That's right.
You know what? They're looking. Hey, and you know what? It may get to them looking, say, there's mom and there's daddy. There's my older brother. He's at the altar. Maybe God's trying to talk to me.
Amen.
And you know what happens is it keeps you humble.
Amen.
It keeps you humble, see. Hey, and I'll tell you what else to do. It'll keep you that when you hear a warning from God's man preaching about sin, listen, if you'll keep your spirit right and view yourself right, you won't go out here and get in a mess.
Right. Yes, sir.
See what it was? Saul thought, well, who ain't nobody tell me? I'm the king. Yeah. Samuel ain't going to tell me to not bring his oxen back. He's not telling me to bring his sheep back. I'm bringing Agag back. I'm going to do what I want to do. And buddy, God signed him off. Said, okay, you go ahead. But I'm going to pick me another king, and he's over there keeping sheep.
Exactly right.
Little old boy, insignificant. He didn't go down into some rich section of town. He went and found a little other little shepherd boy.
Yeah.
That you probably wouldn't have picked.
Right.
Samuel looked at all them boys down at Jesse's house. Brother right. Jenkins, he looked right. at every one of them and said, well, man, boy, that's a good-looking, stout-looking boy there. Maybe that's him. God said, huh? He looked at the other and he said, maybe that's him. God said, huh? Samuel said, well, look, God ain't give me no green light on none of this crowd. He said, you got another boy? He said, yeah, he's over yonder keeping sheep. You probably wouldn't want him. He said, well, we're not going to sit down here. He said, you get him in here. And as soon as he seen him, Brother Bell, and he cast his eyes on him, the Holy Ghost said, there he is.
That's right.
Yeah.
There he is.
Yeah.
Just a little sheep keeper. Shepherd boy. But oh, listen, what a man. But you know what God did? God let him anoint him. Hey, and by the way, Samuel knew Saul was in such a shape. If he heard yep. about that, he'd yep. kill him.
Yep.
You know why, brother? Hey, let me tell you, you watch old Saul. Right. When he got that pride in him, and then he looked like he was doing all right, didn't he? He looked like he was doing okay, but let me tell you something. Saul had a problem. Now, let me tell you this, and I don't mean this wrong, but I'm going to tell you something. People can handle good music. If you got a pride problem, they can handle it and it don't really convict them. But I'm going to tell you something, preacher. That preaching will get them.
Amen.
I'll tell you how I know. It's because Saul, when he is backslidder than the billy goat, you know what he called for? A harp player play good music to drive that evil spirit away. And David was the one God sent in there. And David was playing all them good songs. You know he was. Man, he wrote 100 and some songs. I mean, I'm talking about them Psalms. He had the right stuff. And he was playing the right music. And it drove that evil spirit away from Saul. But listen to what I'm going to tell you. You know what that's doing? That's like putting a Band-Aid on a bull. You're going to have to get that infection out, sir. You can put a Band-Aid on it. But I'll tell you what will get that infection out is that preaching. He didn't like them sermons of Samuel. He liked them songs of David. He just didn't like them sermons of Samuel. That's what he didn't like. He didn't like them sermons. It got to him. Listen to what I'm going to tell you. And I'm done. But he got into worse sin. Because you know why? He would not humble himself. Now he was through as king. But he could have still been used of God.
Not even worse.
God could have still used him. But he was done as a king. But you know what it is? Then he got to where when them women wrote that song about David killing that giant. Boy, he liked that first verse, Saul slain thousands. He said, boy, that's a great verse. Verse 2 is what got him. But he said, David killed tens of thousands. He's the one killed the giant. And brother, the Bible said, Saul eyed David. You know what that meant? He's going to put a javelin through him, Brother Jenkins. He wanted to throw a javelin, and he tried it, didn't he? I mean, he hated David. You know what it was? But the real problem wasn't there.
Right.
He didn't really hate David. You know what the problem was, preacher? He didn't go all the way back to when he saw himself too big in his own eyes. Oh, let me tell you something. Then listen to this. Lord, leave me little, so I'll follow the footsteps of Jesus.
Amen.
Leave me little. You know what the Bible said in 1 Peter 2:21, and I'm through. He left us an example. We should follow his steps. You know, Jesus, humble servant, wasn't he? Hey, do you know what? Paul's the greatest man in the Bible. Do you know what he did? Hey, he said, I'm the least of the apostles. Then he said, I'm the chief sinner. He didn't just say, I'm a old wicked sinner. He said, hey, I'm the chief. I'm the chief. And he didn't say, I was. He said, I am. I'm the chief. Oh, wretched man that I am. You know what? Paul always had the right view of Paul. That's why God used him like he did. Hey, and the crowd that was pride, like Nero, was full of pride. Now people name their dogs Fido and Nero. Amen? Don't mean nothing. But brother, what about Paul? Lord, leave me little. Leave me little. Dr. Lee Robertson told me one time, he said, Brother Darrell, he said, die to criticism and die to compliments.
That's right. Yeah.
How do you keep yourself little? Never forget where God found you.
Amen.
Never forget why you're where you are, because God promotes people. But don't ever remember, it was not you.
That's right.
If you got a Sunday school class, ma'am, listen, it wasn't you that got that class. God gave you that class. Them little kids that sat around you when you teach on Sunday, them little old kids on that bus, hey, God put you there in their life.
Right.
You ain't there because you're this, that, or the other. You're there by divine appointment.
Yeah.
And don't forget why you're there.
Amen.
Lord, leave me little.
Amen.
Saul never learned it. And you know what it did? It got him. He died. And you know what? When he was right and he was little in his own sight, you know what he did when them old donkeys got lost? Remember that? Them donkeys got lost. You know what he did? He said, there is in this city a man of God.
Yep.
Let's go see the prophet and find out where the donkeys is gone. Let me tell you something. When he got prideful, full of pride, show you what it'll do. He said, now, he said, boys, we need some answers. Let's go see the witch of Endor.
Yes.
Samuel was in heaven, paradise. And he went down and he said, I've got to talk to the prophet. But he come down there disguised as somebody else.
Yeah.
And that woman said, who would you like me to call up? He said, how about Samuel? Think you get a hold of him? Let me try. I don't understand this, Brother James. I've never understood, except it was just God. And when she called him up, oh, Samuel, come up out there.
Right.
And Saul said, hey, I need some answers. We're fixing to go to battle tomorrow, and I'd like to know. And that old prophet still had the backbone, didn't he? He said, tomorrow, you and your boys are going to be right here. Somebody told me, said, Saul wasn't saved. I said, well, if he wasn't, neither was Samuel. Because wherever Samuel was, Saul went, Brother Jenkins.
That's right.
Wherever Samuel was, Saul went too.
That's right.
I believe he was. Yeah. Now listen to this. But you know what that shows you? When he got big, got too prideful, he didn't go see God or God's man. He went to see the witch.
Right, sir.
You'll be surprised if you let pride get in and you get to where you're too big in your own eyes.
Yeah.
What'll happen is it'll destroy you.
Yes, sir.
Lord, leave me little.
Amen.
Now, that doesn't mean God don't use me or God don't bless me. You could be the biggest Sunday school teacher, the biggest singer, the biggest preacher, the biggest anything in the world, as long as you make sure you don't forget.
That's right, preacher.
Why you are where you are and who put you there and who saved you and made you and did this, that, and the other. Oh, listen, Lord, let me never forget.
Amen.
What God done. Father, I pray that you would bless Lord today. Bless Brother Jenkins, Lord. As he comes and preaches to us now at this hour, use him, anoint him, fill him with the Holy Spirit. Thank you for this meeting. Lord, I pray this morning the message helped. And Lord, thank you for Brother Bell and his vision and his sticking by the stuff all these years. Bless us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Very good.
Amen.
God bless you.